Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara.
Diving into wide receivers with one hit, a single hit, and we can lump these two together because there's really only one guy that is over 29 years old that's fantasy relevant that has a single hit on his resume. So we'll go through some of these guys and sort of look at some potential opportunities. So DK Metcalf is wide receiver one in terms of ADP, wide receiver six finish. He's actually ahead of pace too in terms of he is about a year ahead of his density curve. So that's at 67%, almost 68%. Justin Jefferson, similarly, he's at about 68% as well. So he is over a year, 1.2 years. Same with CeeDee Lamb, both 1.2 years ahead of pace. Jefferson's hit much higher than CeeDee Lamb's hit. I'd say in terms of all the players, I think that Justin Jefferson has the best case if you're going to go with one of these guys for being wide receiver one. So that would be sort of what my thought would be. You know, when you sort of look at the entire profile for him, it is, I think, better than DK Metcalf's. And you don't have some of the volume concerns that you have with DK Metcalf. I think Justin Jefferson certainly can profile more as a consistent target getter, where I think DK Metcalf was more of wasn't necessarily used in that way. And you saw him and Tyler Lockett very much on a similar pace in terms of targets, and he came back to the pack a little bit in terms of that elite start. So I think some of the cost in there, that spread, given where they finished, I think some of that is the primacy effect of last year. So there's about a year difference in where they are in terms of in terms of real draft position. DK Metcalf's at 2.7, Jefferson's at 3.3, and CeeDee Lamb comes in at 4.4. One of the clear avoids to me in this range is actually Chris Godwin. So Chris Godwin's wide receiver 11. I think there's potential that he could land someplace in free agency and be pretty attractive. He's 25 years old, has one hit on his resume, and he's 4 years into his career, so he's a half a year behind pace. So that would just be the thing that I would express a little bit of concern with. I know some of it's been injury related and all that stuff, but sometimes, again, this is a classic case of you bet on the guy that you kind of know, and that's like the Mike Evans profile. People were taking Godwin really high over Evans, and that was just poorly done. So that he's a cautionary tale about what happens to cost when folks go a little bit crazy off of 1 year, right? So again, these guys, you're talking 60s, and 50s percentile in terms of dynamic density in this range. The guys that hit multiple times have higher ones, right? So that's just, I think, a good example of this is a good group of players, but don't get caught up in, oh, they're all going to be wide receiver ones forever, right? I think that's kind of the caution with these guys. But again, I would take Jefferson. Wide receiver four for Jefferson is like a floor, I think. So Terry McLaurin, he's on the board, wide receiver 19. He gets from that trajectory of he's a hit in, he's a developmental hit in round, in year one, and then he sort of accelerates in year two. That is something that showed up in the book, and he is a poster boy of it. So that is a good sign there for him. That corroborates some of the information that we have. He's 1.5 years ahead of pace, and that is a basically 47.6, almost 48% dynamic density rate. So you're looking at about a coin flip. Again, I think the ceiling's probably not quite as there for him, and maybe he looks more like wide receiver two, wide receiver three range than top 12 guy, just because the quarterback situation isn't all that good. Again, if something changed, if Derek Carr went there, for example, if they landed Deshaun Watson, right, maybe that changes his arc and we'll see his price change as well. But I think there is some of that skepticism built in a little bit to his wide receiver 13 price. It's been a good start. Again, the college profile wasn't that great either, so that would just be the other thing I would say. Okay, DJ Moore, wide receiver 25, and he's 24 years old. He's at a 68.5% dynamic density rate. He's about a year behind pace. That's a little bit of the concern there. Again, he's been good. This is a top 25 finish, so again, just outside the just outside the number. So again, we can sort of take that with a grain of salt, right, and sort of put him on maybe a little bit higher of a acceleration. But again, you sort of, you know, these numbers are meant to be, you know, starting points, base rates, right? So if you sort of look at some of the guys that have, you compare him to the multiple hit guys from round one that have two hits, you know, that's 83%. Like that's Calvin Ridley, for example. So you could sort of say, all right, maybe it's much closer to there would sort of be my thought. I think that's a fair assessment for DJ Moore at this point, is to sort of put him a little bit higher than this. So wide receiver 14, you know, I think the question is going to be quarterback and touchdowns, right? I think that's going to be the question. Chase Claypool, this is the, kind of the fun part of the experience progress, tracker in all of this, is seeing some of these guys and where they're at. He's one of the younger ones in terms of, or the least ahead of the curve, right, in terms of the average accomplishment of the dynamic density. And so he's basically almost 2 years. So when you think of third year, or when you think of second year guys, really you're looking at like a year three breakout on average is kind of what you're, it's kind of what the stat is telling you. So as a rookie, like that's pretty good. Again, it's wide receiver 22, so good, not great. Deontay Johnson's wide receiver 21, again, good, not great. When you compare the two, there is a difference in pedigree. It's 67% for Chase Claypool and 47% for Deontay Johnson. So they're going right next to each other in prices. They're literally going at the same ADP. So that is, you know, one thing you would sort of take Claypool over Deontay Johnson there. I think that's pretty interesting. I would have some concerns with Claypool's usage in terms of, I don't know if he profiles as like a true wide receiver one. A lot of the stuff we saw with him was like gadget type stuff. So I'd just be a little concerned, although I would say I think his profile looked like a poor man's version of Mike Evans coming out. So, you know, maybe he has some of that in his range of outcomes. I would just be a little bit concerned because I think that passing offense is going to have some change there. DJ Shark, he is at wide receiver 24. He's got a hit on his resume. He's just about on pace in terms of his density track. So 67% density track there for him. So that's pretty good. Wide receiver 48 finish. So he's down a little bit in terms of cost. I would say I don't think that price, that accomplishment hurt him all that much. Same with Courtland Sutton, wide receiver 25. I think when you sort of look at some of the other guys, right, you can do, you know, we talked about Tyler Boyd. There, you know, that's a much more of a floor conversation probably, or you could sort of pivot up to like Mike Evans a little bit above that. That would be a level that I would feel a little bit more comfortable on. And then I think you could kind of go down from there too, and sort of get out of a little of that risk range there, especially with Sutton. I'm just concerned with Sutton because I think there's a lot of mouths to feed in that offense, and I'm not sure that he's a true wide receiver one without a without a big time quarterback. And I sort of have those concerns. So that's probably two price points that I would look to pivot off of. Although if I could get DJ Shark for something looking like 10th round, 11th round valuation, that'd be much, much more attractive to me personally. Cooper Kupp, wide receiver 27. And one thing I'll say with Cooper Kupp is I was surprised that he only has one hit on his resume. So through 4 years, good, not great. In terms of all that, he's a little bit behind pace. So again, it's a 50-50 coin flip. We could see changes in this offense with Matthew Stafford there. He's one that I would potentially look to pivot out of. So he's at wide receiver 27 as well. So I'd look to probably pivot out of him. Michael Gallup, there's basically a tier break after Kupp in terms of these guys. So Michael Gallup comes in at 40 after that. Then you get him, Curtis Samuel, Devontae Parker, Nelson Aguilar, and Aguilar is actually in his own tier. So the tier is actually three guys: Michael Gallup, Curtis Samuel, and Devontae Parker. Those guys are in the 40s there, and that's like 11th, 12th, and 13th round, respectively. It's probably more of an avoid spot for me. I get some of the uptick possibilities of Curtis Samuel. He is actually behind pace by about a year, but he is on the relatively young side. So that's, you know, that's a good thing there. He'll be 25 years old next year. So when you look at other guys like Cooper Kupp, they have the same level of experience, and Cooper Kupp's 3 years older. So, you know, that's the other adjustment that you have to make. Devontae Parker, Nelson Aguilar, Sammy Watkins are all guys in this category as well. They're well below their experience progress rate because, you know, they're one-hit guys kind of further out in their career. So, again, they have high dynamic densities, but when you sort of adjust for the experience factor, yeah, we're going to be kind of cautious on those guys there. So, you know, wide receiver 48 there for Devontae Parker. If we could sort of pivot off of that, right? I don't know if that looks like a second-round wide receiver. That's probably not the pivot you can really make, would be my guess. But, like, that's Jarvis Landry territory in terms of cost. I'd much rather have Landry, for example. That's Brandon Cooks, Robbie Anderson, for two examples. I'd much rather have either of those guys than Devontae Parker at this point. And then Nelson Aguilar, I, you know, listen, you can poo-poo Nelson Aguilar. He's wide receiver 71 for sure. I mean, but I would say the move away from Carson Wentz helped him for sure. And so that's really something I think you need to consider. A different offense, you know, is he'll be a free agent, you know, that highly motivated year entering free agency. And now he's potentially going to make some money. So seems like a jet signing. Really, it seems like something the Jets would overpay for. So be on the lookout for them. And then Sammy Watkins, he's going to be a free agent. He's way behind the density curve. He's wide receiver 90, and all the problems that come with him. He's still only 28 years old, given where he's been in his career. So could he have a second act? Maybe. But I have some more fundamental concerns about him overall. John Brown is the guy. He's over 20. He's 29, so he's 31. He's the only other guy in this category of hit categories. So he is, yeah, I mean, I think he's likely a cut candidate, maybe a one-year prove-it, or he comes back on a significantly reduced contract with Buffalo. But Buffalo's got a cap crunch situation, and he's going to probably be a victim of that based on all the reporting. So, all right, so that's the guys in this category. Again, just be mindful that there's the one-hit wonder moniker sort of theme running through these guys, right? And you see some of the guys in the older end, Parker, Aguilar, Watkins are somewhat examples of that, right? So you have to express some concern and some skepticism there. You know, think critically. And, you know, and Lamb's a good one on that, to be honest, because you know, why I see the wide receiver 3. And we talk about, in the book, I talked about this. I was actually talking about this on a podcast I was on recently, which is we get so much, you know, we look so much at stats and everything, and then we realize that it's, you know, like a 0.5% of what we know about a player's year, right? So we don't know all the practice. We don't know all the habits. We don't know all that, the what I call like the Dwayne Haskins, you know, playbook studying habits. We don't know any of those things. And when we don't know those things, I think we need to, you know, we have to wonder why he was the wide receiver 3, why it was so reduced volume, why they basically trusted him for like 3 games less worth of snaps than they trusted Michael Gallup. You have to consider all those things. And that's not to say that CeeDee Lamb's not going to be good, but I would say I think it's not wide receiver 9 type material, right? I'd much rather pay wide receiver 7 for Justin Jefferson. You know, and that's really, I think, my specific take on this. And heck, we know more about DJ Moore at this point than we know about CeeDee Lamb. So, and they finish right together, and it's a couple round spread there in terms of their cost. So that would just sort of be the caution that I would put on that. Again, these guys are good. Just be careful in terms of, you know, thinking it's guaranteed success going forward. All right, we'll also look at guys who are over 28 years old that are fantasy relevant that have not had a hit. It's a relatively small group and a classic avoid profile. Jameson Crowder, wide receiver 51, kind of on that wide receiver 3 fringe of healthy, but not really a true difference maker. You know, at the cost, it's, I guess it's fine. Same with Cole Beasley, actually, wide receiver 59, wide receiver 27 finish. Again, he could sort of slide into being the number 2 in priority in that offense and sort of help you along there. Probably would have gotten on the board late in the season with a top 24 finish. I think he sat out week 14 or week 17, and they played limited offense in that game. So, you know, so, but again, we're just, you know, we're using these as sort of historical context. That's sort of where he sits. D.D. Westbrook, Tim Patrick, Keelan Cole, Rashad Perriman, and DeMarcus Robinson round out the group. Again, it's more of a, they're more role players at this point. Tim Patrick is a nice story in 2020, but you know, it's not the 28 years old, seeing that UDFA breakout is really a rare situation. So I'd just be cautious on that. And then Perriman and Tamarcus Robinson are classic role players. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we'll talk again very soon.